the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, Medicare enrollment period begins here on October 15th. If you are turning 65, you are eligible for Medicare. It's really important to do that, to get enrolled early. Remember, 6 months before you turn 65 to let the government know that you intend to enroll. This is really important, but we won't go into a lot of that today on the show. Private insurance companies play an important role, even if you are with Medicare. There is a myth out there, and that is that Medicare pays everything. Ta-da-da! Medicare does not pay everything. They only cover about 60% of medical costs once you get on Medicare. Now, year after year, you're watching all of these Medicare costs go up, deductibles, co-payments, co-insurance amounts. And what people typically do, which I do, to cover these uncovered expenses, you purchase supplemental Medigap policies. But not all Medigap policies are created equal. And that is the subject of our conversation here today on Lifetime Income.
And you know, John, you mentioned one of the most important things. One of the two biggest benefits to people that are retired are Social Security and, of course, Medicare. You know, you leave the workforce, you know, insurance gets more expensive as you get older. But the myths are, there are so many myths out there from whether it's taking your Social Security earlier or when it comes to Medicare. And one of them is, oh, Medicare covers everything. And people think, oh, long-term care, Medicare covers it. No, they don't. They cover about 30 days, and that's just about it. And that's why we want to talk about Medigap insurance. And we're going to be covering this issue of Medicare with not only guests on the program, but also future changes coming in Washington. As many of you are aware, there's another repeal program working its way through Congress. They're hoping to get it through. So there are a lot of changes, and we'll be talking about this in future programs. But here's the important thing. Without Medigap insurance, most beneficiaries would face high out-of-pocket costs. And these costs contribute to that figure you have heard us mention so often here on the program, that a couple age 65 will end up shelling out $260,000. That's right, $260,000 of out-of-pocket expenses throughout your retirement. And if you are in the upper income categories, that $260,000 can approach nearly half a million, because depending on your income, you may pay four times the amount of Medicare premiums, and you have to cover more out-of-pocket expenses. And so this is one reason that we want to talk about Medigap insurance today, because it's very important. If you're going to be enrolling to Medicare, equally important is the type of Medigap insurance that you get. Now, there have been a number of bills that have been passed by Congress over the years, and it looks like we got another healthcare bill coming out here or sometime in the next 12 months that's going to obviously impact Medicare and Medicaid. But there has been some regulation. The trend, however, is very clear. Since the passage of Obamacare, health care insurance and health care itself is getting more expensive. And number two, Medicare is covering less of those medical costs. That was one of the first things I noticed, John. I don't know about you. We had a nice plan, company plan, and when we went on to Medicare, it's amazing to find out all the things that aren't covered. And also, another trend that we've seen over the years, and you're going to more likely see more of it in the future, I don't care what these guys tell you in the media, greater burden of cost of medical insurance is being shifted to individuals, especially those of you who are in the upper income bracket.
Yeah, and of course, with everything involving government, there are rules and regulations. And just when you think you get really good at, oh, you do this and they do that and blah, 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 voila, Congress changes everything. So how do you navigate that?
Let's talk about the rules. Like for Social Security and Medicare, there are important aspects of Medigap insurance you need to know. Number one, there are close to 15 different Medigap insurance plans. Now, Medigap insurance plans are labeled by letters. The letters go from A to N, and each plan covers different deductibles, out-of-pocket costs, and you really need to be evaluated based on, let's say, your needs and affordability, because obviously the more things that you want covered in your insurance plan, obviously the more that you're going to pay. So what you really need to look at when you're looking at Medigap insurance, you need to look at your own healthcare needs. You may have particular medical issues that are going to play an important role in the type of policy you choose. Secondly, how much of these costs can you cover of your own out-of-pocket cost versus having the insurance company? The more the insurance company covers of these uncovered expenses, the higher the insurance company premiums. It's like anything else. You get more coverage. Well, guess what? More coverage costs more money. And there are a lot of things that Medicare doesn't cover when it comes to insurance plans. And so that's why, John, it's really sort of an affordability and a needs assessment in terms of what you really need to look at.
And one thing is really for sure, Jim, it's just going to get worse because we already know that Medicare is in trouble financially and Congress is going to have to deal with this one way or another. But given these things then that Medicare does and doesn't cover, do we have any stats, any either government figures or private figures that show generally what it is people prefer when they're selecting these plans?
There's been a number of surveys. The last major survey was done a couple of years ago. And when it comes to Medigap insurance, probably the most important thing that most individuals want to see, they want a plan that allows them to see a doctor of their choice. They don't want to be told by the government or the insurance company, well, guess what? You can't see this doctor, or we don't cover this doctor or this hospital, etc. It's just like as many people will find today with even medical insurance, that if your doctor prescribes a particular drug, especially if it's a new drug or a very popular one, you will find your insurance company doesn't cover it. So they're going to push you towards a generic. And as we know, a lot of these generics don't have the same benefits, or especially if you have, let's say, a new drug. So being able to choose your doctor of your own choice is probably the most important. Secondly, coverage of hospital expenses not covered by Medicare. Once again, folks, when you go on Medicare, I want to dispel the myth that, you know, the government covers all these costs. That isn't necessarily the case. A third thing that's important to individuals is physician expenses not covered by Medicare. You may go see a doctor. You may have some tests or certain things Medicare isn't going to cover. And then there's a small percentage of things like medical equipment, especially important for a lot of seniors who do a lot of travel, especially if you're traveling overseas. You know, coverage, if you have a medical emergency issue overseas, or let's say emergency facilities and skilled nursing care. And this really was driven home to me. One of my clients was going to Europe on vacation this past summer and took his daughter and his son-in-law. And when they were over there, his son-in-law had a stroke. And John, $19,000 of out-of-pocket expenses for my client. And so there are plans that have foreign travel expenses, because if you're traveling overseas and something happens to you, a heart attack, or in the case of my client, a son-in-law stroke, I mean, what is covered? Who covers it and what? So there are a lot of things you need to look at and evaluate when you're choosing these policies, because you don't want to be stuck. You develop an illness, you need a special drug, a special procedure, an operation, and you find out, oh, Medicare doesn't cover it. And by the way, your insurance doesn't cover it as well. So it's out of your own pocket.
So if we look at these Medigap policies, as they're called, are there standards for them, or can you put it together like a la carte? Like you go, even Medicare is like that, you know, parts A, B, C, D, et cetera. How do the Medigaps work comparatively?
I mean, there are basic standard coverage in just about every policy. Even though the benefits are standardized, the cost will vary because of coverage. There's specifics, things that aren't covered. For example, dental care, eye care, things like that. So the first question that should be asked is how many of the gaps in Medicare coverage can the beneficiary cover with their own budget? In other words, what can you afford to pay out of pocket? Because it's like anything else. Once again, the more that the insurance company covers, the higher the cost is going to be to you. Now, once you determine that, then determine which benefit plan offers the benefits that you need covered and, of course, at the best price. Now, let's look at the basic policy. Most Medigap policies will cover what they call hospital coinsurance amounts under Part A. So the thing that is not covered under Part A of a plan is typically covered by these standard policies. But you need to understand, and there's other things that are covered too, 365 days of hospital coverage after Medicare ends, because I think Medicare, I'm trying to think the number of days of the hospital. I can't think of it offhand. I think it's like 30. So once that happens, then the Medigap policy will cover 365 days. Some policies will cover some or all of blood transfusions and some or all of Part B coinsurance amount. And you need to take a look at, there's things like, for example, drug copays. There's inpatient respite care. There's what they call the copay for outpatient prescription drugs for pain and symptoms of management. And there's a number of issues that are basic to all of them. And some of it is foreign travel, because people, seniors, travel. And what happens if you get into trouble overseas, like my client? The other three aspects most of them will cover is what they call inpatient hospital expenses. For every benefit period, every plan pays all of the beneficiary's Part A coinsurance amounts through the first 90 days as an inpatient, plus coinsurance amounts for any reserve days. After reserve days are used up, every plan for the entire Medicaid approved amount of hospital charges for an additional 365 days. Then there's things called medical expenses. Every plan will pay some of the 20% coinsurance amount of Medicare Part B that Part B does not pay. Now, if you look at plans A to J, they pay the full Part B coinsurance amounts until you get to plan K, and then in plans K and L will cover 75%. So once again, there is a plethora of policies. I think there's 15 different Medigap policies from A to N. So you have to look at that. So these medical expenses are really, really important. And until you really assess what your own physical needs are and what you can afford to pay. And also, if you get Part D, which is drug prescription benefit, then there's an insurance carrier or medical carrier for that as well. So all of this starts to add up, John, from your Medicare premium to your Medigap insurance or Part D insurance. So you start adding that up. And then to make matters worse, if you're receiving Medicare, your Medicare premiums can be the standard $109, I think, for this year, or it can be all the way up to over $400, depending on what level of income you earn. And especially for those of you who are invested in stocks and maybe, you know, you have a huge capital gain in one year and it pushes you up in a higher income bracket, you could get hit with higher Medicare premiums. So you really want to be very careful about that.
So now, this is a little bewildering. If there are 15 different plans, how do you choose from all of this? I mean, you sit down and try to wade through all of this stuff. Are there some that we find, we were talking about surveys, that are more popular or used more frequently? Some maybe just jump out as being the most reasonable, the one that people would tend to like? Or are we back to that smorgasbord concept again?
Well, I mean, when you look at the surveys, and there's a number of surveys done, if you take a look at the plans, there's generally three plans, and one that stands out in particular, that are most popular with Medicare recipients. And the most popular by far, and it's considered the Cadillac of all Medigap insurance plans, is Plan F. Almost 55% of enrollees choose Plan F because it's going to give you the widest coverage. Plan C is chosen by 11% of Medicare beneficiaries, and plans G, J, and N, about 6%. So, you know, it really depends, but when we get to choosing a Medigap plan, Plan F is very important when you're looking at it.
Okay, well, if you have to start with anything, let's start with Plan F. It seems like a lot of people choose that one.
Yeah, it's almost 55 to 60% of Medicare beneficiaries go with Plan F. Once again, it's considered the Cadillac of all the Medigap policies. Number one, coverage for Medicare Part A inpatient hospital deductible. It covers all of that, and that's over well over $1,000. So that's really important. You know, when you have to go into a hospital, imagine getting nicked for over $1,000 just to walk in the hospital. Coverage for skilled nursing facility care coinsurance amount, and that is usually for days 21 through 100. So that is a really important coverage because a lot of times you may have an operation, you may have a stroke, and you may have to go into some kind of special treatment facility. So it kicks in there. Coverage for Medicare Part D deductible, that is going up each year, by the way, and has gone up quite a lot since the passage of Obamacare. 80% of coverage for medically necessary emergency care in a foreign country. That is really important. I just mentioned the story about my client that went to Europe this summer, and his son-in-law had a stroke, and he had to shell out $19,000 just for the coverage there. And also, coverage for 100% of Medicare Part B excess charges. Now, Plan F offers the most significant added benefit besides Plans B, C, D, and E, and payment of 100% of what a doctor actually charges above the Medicare approved amount. Because, you know, you walk into a doctor's office, and let's say for a doctor's visit, it's $75 to $100. Medicare may only pay that doctor $25 or $35. Well, you know, the doctor needs to get paid. And so a lot of these plans will cover 100% of that doctor visit, which Plan F does. Plan F, you know, as I mentioned, is probably the most popular because of all the various things that it covers. And one area in particular that Medigap Plan F does not cover, however, is for hospice care coinsurance or copayment. So a lot of times, especially towards the end of life, a lot of people are put into hospice care and doesn't cover a lot of that. But anyway, you can get Plan Fs. They're higher premiums because obviously they're going to cover a lot more. Many Plan Fs offer a high deductible option of this version of the plan for a much lower premium. So let's say that you want to keep the cost down. You want the Cadillac plan. One way is maybe you build up some savings and you go with a higher deductible. You're seeing this, John, done at the company level with many insurance plans today. Companies who still want to cover their employees are going with higher deductibles. And sometimes some companies will reimburse their employees for that deductible, but that's one way they're trying to keep the cost down. So Plan F is probably by far the most popular out of all the plans because it covers so much of what people need that are not covered by Medicare itself.
I guess the next runner-up would be Plan C. And so what does that cover versus the Plan F?
Like Plan F, it covers the Part A inpatient hospital deductible, which is well over $1,000. Like Plan F, it also covers skilled nursing facility coinsurance for days 21 through 100. It also covers Medicare Part B deductible, and 80% of medical emergency care in a foreign country. And there's a $50,000 lifetime maximum. Now, the emergency care must begin within first 60 days of each trip abroad. However, there are a number of things it doesn't cost. It does not cover at-home recovery cost and does not cover Medicare Part B excess charges. So that's one major difference between Plan C and Plan F.
And then the final plan, at least the ones that we really need to look at here closely.
And another one that is very popular is Medigap Plan G. Like the other ones, it covers the Part A hospital deductible over $1,000. It covers the skilled nursing care facilities from days 21 to 100. It covers 100% of coverage for medically necessary emergency care in a foreign country. Also 100% of Medicare Part B excess charges. However, what's not covered? Hospice care, coinsurance, or copayment. Another thing, it doesn't cover Medicare Part B deductible and preventive care not covered by Medicare. So there are a lot of things that these plans cover. But once again, the premium, the one that everybody judges all other policies, is Plan F. It is considered the Cadillac or the Mercedes-Benz of Medigap insurance.
This is important, Jim, because as we've seen since the passage of Obamacare, not only is Obamacare already in trouble, as a lot more of its carriers are pulling out of the whole plan, but the cost of healthcare overall is going up, including for what Medicare includes, which means its costs are going up.
Well, it's like anything else. And here's an important thing when we talk about, you know, inflation rates. You've heard in the, if you listen to the weekend program, we talk a lot about, you know, the Fed's policy goal of 2% inflation. If you're a senior, you're probably saying 2% inflation, my costs are going up higher than that. Well, if you are a senior, your medical costs are going up an average of 6 to 8%, and in many cases, depending on your income, up to 10% a year. So that's why it's very important when you choose your policies, you take a look at, for example, if you want to get Part F, but it's expensive, maybe one consideration might be getting a Plan F that has a higher deductible to bring the cost down. So these are all the kind of things that you really need to work with an advisor or talk to somebody before you just willy-nilly go out and sign up for Medicare and just pick a plan. You really need to understand what that Medigap insurance coverage is going to cover, what you're going to be liable for and responsible for, because what you don't want to do is get sick and find out you have to have either a special prescription, a procedure, or you end up in the hospital with, you know, a heart attack, a stroke, or something, and you find out, oh my goodness, it only covers this amount or something is not covered, especially when it comes to certain drugs or certain procedures.
Now, I would think the thing that needs to be examined here is how do you sort all of this out when you're starting, you know, you're on Medicare, you have to choose both Medicare and the Medigap insurance simultaneously. How do you sort all this out? There's got to be a way you can sort of make through it.
Well, I mean, there's a step-by-step procedure, but step one, John, is estimate the price of a Medigap Standard F plan. And it's just one way to simplify comparisons is you take a look at a Plan F, which is probably the best one you can get available. You use this price as the benchmark of any other plan you're looking at. So you can compare the price and coverage of other alternatives. As I mentioned, some of those other plans like Plan C and G, some of them didn't cover what Plan F covers. The other thing is you take a look at some of these Plan F policies are based on age and geographical area, because it's just like car insurance, John. In certain areas of the country, the driving records are terrible, especially here in California. So the insurance companies charge more for insurance in a particular area if they have a lot more accidents, speeding tickets, DUIs, etc. The same thing applies when you're taking a look at Plan F. Insurance companies also take a look at geographic areas and age. We'll get into that in just a moment. Step two, identify the selection criteria. If a beneficiary wants to consider less expensive options than the comprehensive Medigap policy, they should list two or three criteria that are really important to them. In other words, when you're looking at your coverage, what areas do you want to cover? According to one study done on Medigap insurance, the primary criterion that individuals use is that a plan should have low premium. So you're looking for, hey, I got to pay for Medicare, I've got to pay for Medigap insurance. Add those two together, I want to get by with the least amount that I have to put out. Because as I mentioned, you're going to spend $260,000 of out-of-pocket expenses, which includes your Medigap insurance, your Medicare premiums, your out-of-pocket expenses. But they should list the criteria, because once they've identified the plans that meet those criteria, then you can consider plan premiums and selecting coverage. And there's a list of several criteria that you may want to consider. For example, the ability to continue seeing their current physician, probably one of the most important things to most people that are on Medicare and have Medicap insurance. Flexibility in choosing providers, particularly specialists, without going through a gatekeeper. Because as many people know, in some medical plans, you want to get a particular test done or procedure. Well, you have to go through your primary care doctor, who's the gatekeeper, and you don't want to have all kinds of walls and difficulties put in front of you when you're trying to get your health taken care of. Low total cost, that's premiums and deductibles, protection from large losses, and benefits for service such as a routine dental and vision care that are not covered. And then finally, step three, you evaluate the coverage options after, let's say, you've estimated what you could pay for a Medigap Standard F and listed the criteria. Then you can look at the other plans and say, hey, do I go with Plan F, but maybe a higher deductible because it really covers everything that I need? Or based on my own health and what I can afford in the budget, I go with something lesser. So, John, these are the things that you have to take a look at, because if you don't, you may choose the wrong kind of policy. And the last thing that you want to do is get yourself into a medical situation. And the other thing that can affect your premium is a lot of the premiums vary from company to company. And there are three methods companies use to set their premium. One is called issue age. The issue age method bases the premium and future increases on the beneficiary's age when the policy was first issued. For instance, a company using this method can charge a higher premium to a beneficiary when they first buy their Medigap policy at age 72 versus, let's say, somebody that goes on Medicare at age 65. So there's issue age. There's also something called attain age. The attain age method bases any premium increases on the beneficiary's current age at the time of the increase. And finally, there's something called community age. The community age method bases the premium and any increases on the average age of everyone in the plan. And you see this in certain areas where, for example, if you go to Arizona, they have a retirement community called Sun City. Now, obviously, if an insurance company is looking at anybody that lives in Sun City, they're all basically retired and over the age 65. So insurance companies in that community may use community age in terms of assessing their premiums. But these are the things, John, that everybody needs to take a look at when determining their coverage. And it's something that if you are one of those individuals that may turn 65 this year and the enrollment date starts next month, October 15th, you really want to do your homework on your Medigap insurance, because it's an integral part. In fact, it's probably one of the most important things you're going to do with your Medicare, because remember, Medicare is only going to cover about 60% of those expenses. And that's why you need to look at that rather closely, because this could really determine whether over the course of your retirement lifetime, you're going to end up spending $260,000 out of pocket, or it could actually be substantially more if you don't plan carefully.
Time for our real life case study, which we should remind you is a hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. The names and circumstances and information of any people involved have been changed. Also, remember, we have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points which Jim is making. The purpose here is to show you how this plays out in real life.
This week, we're going to talk about Joe and Kate Tucker. Joe and Kate are both age 64. Both of them want to retire within the next couple of years. Based on their health questionnaire, Joe's life expectancy is age 81. Kate's is age 89. It's not just the fact that she's female, but also taking a look at life expectancy and health differences between them. They were fairly conservative in their risk. And just a little bit of background about Joe. He has enjoyed an entire career as an aerospace engineer, but recently became eager to retire within the last several years because of constant changes and new challenges at work. Anybody that works in a company or an industry that sees a lot of changes, mergers, acquisitions, moving plants overseas, all of this can be unsettling. He's grown tired of the strain of working and commuting to his job, especially when you live in California. Anybody driving the California freeways, you can spend up to several hours a day just commuting, just like those that live in New York. So Joe is excited and yet a little bit apprehensive about the prospects of retirement because of his concerns about high medical expenses and whether or not they have saved enough to live off their assets. He lives with a diabetes and a regular visits to the doctor due to complications he has begun to experience from the disease. And that's one of the main differences when we took a look at life expectancy issues between the two of them was Joe's diabetes. Now, Kate is excited as well about retiring. She'd like to spend more time with her family and also participating in charity work through her church. Kate shares her husband's concerns about medical costs, and she feels sometimes overwhelmed about having to be the one to make the decisions about healthcare and other aspects of their imminent retirement. She would like to be able to leave some money for the kids and for her favorite charity, but only after she is made certain that both of their retirement needs are met, because given the health differences between them, you know, Kate is thinking, you know, I'm going to be the survivor here. And we had to get into all kinds of things like what happens with Social Security benefits and things of that nature. On the risk score from a scale of 1 to 10, their risk scale was 4, their portfolio was 6, so fairly close to in terms of their risk and their actual portfolio. What was really important to both of them was leaving a legacy, not outliving their assets, and having retirement income, and also finding a Medicare plan that fits their needs. Now, looking at their budget, $61,000 was their essential budget, $40,000 discretionary, roughly about $100,000. Joe's salary was $72,000, Kate's was $38,000, which left roughly about a surplus of $9,000. Taking a look at retirement, essential budgets would be not really reduced that much, about $4,000 or $5,000. Their combined Social Security would be $38,000 a year. Joe's pension from the defense company would be $29,000. That would leave a shortfall roughly of $30,000. Now, their primary residence would be $260,000. They had liabilities of $160,000 on that. Joe's retirement plan at work is $352,000. Kate's retirement was $127,000. Joint taxable accounts was $210,000. And cash and precious metals was $420,000. A lot of the precious metals and the cash had a lot to do with the bear market that they went through in 2008. In 2009, that explained a lot of the cash. And of course, the precious metals, especially the run-up that we saw in gold and silver prices coming out of the 2009 financial crisis, when we saw silver go up to $50 and gold go up to $1,900. Unfortunately, they held on to a lot more precious metals than they should have. Now, some of the issues that we had to deal with was finding a Medicare plan that was flexible and cost-effective. Just remember, as we just covered, you get the higher Medigap insurance plan like Plan F, that tends to be more expensive. Managing healthcare costs in retirement, reallocating their investments for better diversification, and they also wanted to leave a legacy to their children. Now, what we did is we had to shift some of the money out of metals and also some of the money out of cash and more towards a balanced plan. There would be a mixture between both fixed income individual bonds that were laddered as well as individual stocks. That would produce total investment income of roughly about $32,000 a year, bringing their grand total to $99,000 of income, less a budget of $97,000. So we're squeaking by here with a budget surplus of $2,000 $288. And we also told them about the idea that we may have to go to a little bit more cash if we ever get to a bear market, which is one of the reasons why we still wanted to keep some money in cash so we wouldn't have to draw down. The other thing we had to talk about is we really needed to get into some dividend paying stocks that increase their dividends, because their costs throughout retirement, not just their general living cost, but their medical costs would be going up each year. So as they enrolled in Medicare, we recommended that Joe and Kate both select a Medigap policy due to the chronic conditions of diabetes. We suggested this coverage in order to help control cost and also provide flexibility in the case that Joe has more unexpected health complications, which can come with diabetes, from kidney problems all the way to things like heart disease itself. I also gave them several books to read on diet plans, because a lot of these doctors, unfortunately today, do not place enough emphasis on the role of diet in various diseases. I don't care if it's cancer, heart disease, or diabetes. We also recommended that they update their portfolio's investment allocation to match up with their current needs, and that meant reducing the volatility and exposure to very large holdings in precious metals. Our objective was to help them meet their income needs and provide them with a better chance of not running out of money. There was no way that they could afford to keep several $100,000 in precious metals that didn't produce income. We also had them work with an attorney to create a trust to protect their assets from probate. We advised them to appoint a couple charities as beneficiary for Kate's IRA, as well as name the kids as beneficiary for Joe's and Kate's taxable accounts. By naming the charity as beneficiary, the charity could receive the proceeds tax-free upon Joe and Kate's death. In addition, the taxable assets would easily move to the kids, along with a stepped-up basis in cost, meaning that all capital gains in their personal accounts would be forgiven at death. So, John, this was a case where we had to choose a Medigap policy that particularly fit into Joe's health needs, especially with the diabetes issues that he was dealing with.
So what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks here on the program is to have a series of experts on to talk about Medicare enrollment, also Medigap enrollment, because you need to plan this so that if you do have a medical event, that you're not saddled with a huge amount of expenses, which could have been prevented by the proper types of enrollment. Anything other than that, Jim, we're looking for?
No, I think in the next couple of weeks, I really want to spend a lot of time on this, just as we've been spending some time on Social Security, because, you know, the probably two biggest government benefits that you're going to get in your retirement, and that is Medicare and, of course, Social Security, the one dependable source of steady income for most individuals that worked in the private sector, John. And we see so many issues that we come across when we're doing financial plans is either the clients or their advisors did not cover these areas adequately. And then all of a sudden, later on in life or soon into retirement, something comes up. They chose the wrong Medigap insurance, or they took the wrong options on their Social Security. So we really want to educate you on this. There are a lot of fine leaflets at the Social Security website, which is socialsecurity.gov, and especially for women, because for all you ladies that are listening out there and you men that are listening to this program, make sure that your wife is well informed, because more than likely she is going to outlive you. And 85% of all Social Security beneficiaries, surviving beneficiaries, are women. So there's a good reason that you should give a lot of thought into your retirement plan to not only when to take Social Security, but also the Medigap insurance that you choose when you go on Medicare. So we'll be covering those and other issues related to this in the weeks ahead. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. befriend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.